Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time now for John Chuckery's often imitated but never duplicated world-famous buy or sell segment.
And welcome you back to the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is college football game time. John Fricke, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery here with you this week. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Station's at 92.9 The Game. This particular show, it is at 92.9 CFB Game Time. He is at Randy Mac 81. He is at John Fricke. I am at JMCH316. And, of course, it is our second to last by ourselves. I grab my paperwork here, and I do that just to annoy Randy at this point. Out there. Made it a whole other season without any sponsors for it. 10 questions for the guys in the world of college football. I'll save the national championship questions for the end. But Randy McMichael, let's start with you. Alabama versus Florida as the preseason SEC title game favorites. Buy or sell?
Oh, I'll buy it because, you know, with when he left, when Jacob Fromm decided to leave, I'm sure that people bolted Florida because Florida has their quarterback back. Another guy who had to announce that he was coming back again. Where the hell were you going? But I think they want Emory Jones. I don't know what it is. Maybe Emory needs to leave. I mean, he just can't. Maybe he needs to go somewhere else. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'll buy it. Why not?
John Fricke, Alabama versus Florida as the preseason SEC title game favorites. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell that. I think it's Alabama-Georgia. I think it's a rematch. I think you're really going to think – at the end of the year, the two, like I said earlier in the program, the two best quarterbacks in the SEC are Bryce Young and Jamie Newman.
All right, we'll see.
But Mac?
I think we're sleeping on Mac.
I do, too.
I think we're sleeping on
Mac. I do, too. I think Mac's a guy to watch out for. John Fricke, Chuba Hubbard decides to go to the NFL.
Back for a second, okay? I don't disagree that Mac Jones starts the year, but we've seen Nick Saban use two quarterbacks.
You're right, okay. and they got that young kid coming in. So,
yeah. By the way, when he used two quarterbacks a few years ago, that's when they got whipped by Mississippi and stuff like that. When they decided
also
to go
won
with,
national titles with two quarterbacks, but that's okay.
What two quarterbacks did he win the national title with?
Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. I mean,
well, he didn't. He was forced to when one guy can't walk on the field,
regardless of why.
Oh, well, so it doesn't matter that guy.
Well, I know
walk.
When you know. I mean, regardless. I mean, and by the way, in the national title game, that wasn't because of injury. That was because Jalen won't play well.
Well, in the second half, yeah, he did. But he waited to the very last game of the year. Okay. Wait. So he played two quarterbacks. The guy played third. Okay. Anyway. All right. John Fricke, Chuba Hubbard goes to the NFL. Buy or sell? Still hasn't made his decision yet. There's a lot of story surrounding his decision, by the way. Chuba Hubbard goes to the NFL. Buy or sell?
I'll buy it. He's got 9 days. If you haven't made a decision, to me, I think the decision is to go back is a pretty easy decision. I think the hard decision, rather to go to the NFL is a pretty easy decision. I don't know why he hasn't gone back yet.
Have you heard the story about this? So one is his parents are really pushing the idea of him getting his degree. Like there's a lot of supposedly family pressure that they want him to go back and get his degree. He also has maxed out his NCAA insurance policy. Like, he's maxed out his insurance policy to the max levels that the NCAA allows for injury and stuff like that.
Right.
So there's no real financial pressure, John, for him to go back. But it's an interesting story because the dude led the country in rushing this past year and would probably be, you know, looked at as one of the top, I don't know, 3-4 players coming back in college football. But there's a lot of pressure, supposedly, from his family about coming back to get his degree. I'll ask you, Randy, Chuba Hubbard goes to the NFL, buy or sell?
I'll sell it. It seems like he doesn't want to go.
I mean, I think John's right. If he was going to the NFL, this would be pretty quick and easy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if he's waiting around this long, you would think that he's coming back. But he does. He tweeted out, I think yesterday it was. Was yesterday the 10th? Yes, yesterday. He tweeted out yesterday, expect a decision just within a few days. So we should get the announcement the very first part of the week.
Yeah, he's really excited about the idea of the Alamo Bowl or something.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they ain't going to be, even with him, they ain't going
to
be the favorite.
I mean, if you're going to go back to college, go into the transfer portal and go somewhere. Go to Alabama.
Yeah, or LSU or somewhere. Right. Randy McMichael, Jamie Newman is the second best SEC quarterback going into 2020. Buy or sell? Jamie Newman is the second best SEC quarterback going into 2020?
I will. I guess I'll buy it. I mean, who's that? I mean, is he better than Bo Nix?
Nix, Mac.
Is he better
Kyle
than Mac?
Trask?
Is he better than Kyle Trask? Where does he fit? I say I'll sell it because I don't know yet. I don't know. I don't even know he's going to be the starter.
John Fricke, buy
what?
Or sell.
What? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be the starter.
John Fricke. Well, they were going in the transfer portal no matter what. I mean, they let it be known that they were going to do that. John Fricke, Jamie Newman as the second best SEC quarterback going into 2020.
I'll sell that.
Think he's the best?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's better? Trask? Mond? Nix? I think he's, again, if you don't think that you can make the argument that he's the best, you didn't watch him play at Wake Forest.
I saw him play.
I know.
The dude can play.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about anybody out there who says, how can you make it? Well, you just obviously did not watch him play.
Do you think he'll get the media vote? Media Day's here, by the way,
no.
In Atlanta this year.
No. No.
I think Mac Jones is going to get the. Or
Bo Nix.
I think Mac's going to get. Because he's an Alabama quarterback.
Right.
I think he's going to get the vote as the first team all SEC quarterback.
Right. And so, yes.
I'm not telling you that's right, wrong, or different.
I'm just telling you. I agree.
The Media Day will pick him at number one. John Fricke, where am I at here? Georgia Tech finishing second in the ACC Coastal next year, buy or sell? Georgia Tech finishing second in the ACC Coastal next year.
I'm selling that. I mean, it just, you know, as much as you'd like to think that, there are other programs that are ahead of Georgia Tech right now. Georgia Tech's going to be a better team next year, but there are teams ahead of them in the pecking order. They are not one of the top five teams in the ACC next year. There may be six, seven, somewhere in there, because we'll get into it a little bit later. We asked Don Munson about next season, and he's like, well, since we're going to win 128 games in a row, it doesn't much matter. He's sleeping on something. He's sleeping on how good Florida State's going to be with Mike Norvell.
They ain't going to be good next year.
They could be. Look at what Louisville did under Scott Satterfield.
I see what Louisville did under Scott Satterfield.
I'm saying in the ACC Coastal.
I'm talking about the league as a whole.
Okay. I understand. My Georgia Tech question was specifically about the
Coastal.
I think
they're behind North Carolina. They're behind Louisville. They're behind Florida State. They're behind Clemson.
State and Louisville don't play in the ACC Coastal.
Again, I'm just talking about the league as a whole.
I understand that. I'm with you on that.
But you have to think about what's their overall record going to be, too, you know, in terms of that. I mean, the division's winnable. I'd like to think that I'm selling.
Randy McMichael, Georgia Tech finishing second in the ACC Coastal, buy or sell?
Oh, I'm selling that. They're still not going to be there yet. They're getting there. They're building something, but they're still not there yet.
Randy McMichael, buy or sell Texas in the top seven in the preseason going into next year? Sam Ellinger has decided he will come back for another season, his final season at the University of Texas. Texas, a preseason top seven pick going into next year, buy or sell?
I'll sell it. I think they'll be right outside the top 10.
They have a very good schedule next year, by the way, too. Like, they you know, Baylor, who is it? Oh, man, it was, I was looking at their schedule the other day. They're packed. Baylor, West Virginia, TCU all come to Austin, Texas this year. Their road games are Texas Tech and some of those lower teams. John, I'll ask you, Texas, preseason top seven going into next year.
No, I'm selling that. I think they'll be 15, 16, somewhere in there.
Really? With Sam Ellinger at quarterback?
Yes.
Wow, okay. You don't even think they'll be the – so are you telling me you don't think they'll be the Big 12 favorite?
Oh, no, Oklahoma is the Big 12 favorite.
Okay.
And by the way, in a landslide.
Okay. All right, let's get to some questions about the national title game. John Fricke, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne combined for over 130 yards rushing Monday night. Buy or sell?
Oh, I'm buying Lawrence. That all day long. Etienne will have over 100 by himself.
Ooh, okay. Randy McMichael, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne combined for over 130 yards rushing. Buy or sell?
I buy it. I think they're going to get Travis Etienne is going to get it going this
weekend.
Not saying that Clemson is going to win the game, but I think they're going to get that run game going.
Etienne's going to have a 70-yarder in this game at some point. You can go break one.
Yeah, they had 143 against Ohio State was the number. Randy McMichael, Joe Burrow over 299.5 passing yards. Buy or sell Joe Burrow over 299.5
passing
yards.
Yeah, I'm buying that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all day long.
Oh, yeah, he'll be 350 something.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if he has to come from behind.
So you guys both have him over 300.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Okay. All right. John Fricke, both teams on Monday night over 30 points, buy or sell?
You know, that's interesting. because I'm not really sure. I'm going to sell that only to the degree the losing team will have 27 to 28. And so it's going to be close. But it wouldn't surprise me to shoot up. But I'll sell it nonetheless. I'll say it's going to be a 35-28 game.
Randy McMichael, buy or sell both teams over 30 points on Monday night?
I'm trying to find this over-under real quick.
By the way, that semifinal game played out a little bit more like I thought it was
going
to. Yeah,
it did.
That, you know, 24 would have won that game.
I'm going to – hold on. One second. Oh, this damn computer.
I'll buy it.
I think final score will be somewhere 35-30, somewhere in that area. I'll buy it.
Sort of feels like maybe what that Texas LSU game kind of was from
a little bit, yeah.
Randy McMichael, a couple last questions here on buyers.
Yeah, over under 69.5.
Whew.
Yeah.
So they've got it like 37, 34. Yeah. You know, okay. All right. Randy McMichael, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, total yards over 119.5, buy or sell. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Total yards over 119.5.
Total. I'm going to.
That's rushing receiving.
Okay.
So.
I'm going to sell it because I think they're going to find a way when they're because they run a lot of 11 personnel LSU, and they like to use Helaire out of the backfield on those anger routes. I think they've game planned enough that they'll put Isaiah Simmons on them in those situations. So I'll sell it.
What a great matchup that is.
Yeah. I'll sell it.
Yeah, and we heard that you know it might not just be a strain; it might be a tear. And if he has to limit it in any way,
Did you see the video of him from yesterday?
Yeah, I know.
But he looked pretty. He was running around pretty darn good. Okay, so good. We will see.
Was he getting hit by Clemson guys?
I don't know. But, I mean, buy or sell, John, 119.5 yards.
I'm
selling it. Okay. All right. And finally, as we wrap up buy or sell on college football game time here, John Fricke, J.K. Dobbins over 99.5 rushing yards. Of course, he went off. Not J.K. Dobbins. Travis Etienne, I should say. Sorry. Travis Etienne over 99.5 rushing yards by himself, buy or sell. Held to 36 yards on 10 carries last game.
I'm buying that because I think he's breaking a big one. I think he's breaking a 70-yarder in this game.
Travis Etienne, who has held to 36 yards, Randy, against Ohio State, over 99.5 rushing yards by himself.
Would you? Well, wasn't the question with Trevor Lawrence?
Him and Trevor over 130.
Okay. So if he has over 90, so you're saying Trevor has like 40 yards rushing?
No, I'm saying does Trevor go over 100 by himself?
I'll sell it.
Travis by himself.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Think he goes off this time?
Yeah.
Only 36 yards against Ohio State.
Well, I think if Clemson wins, I think Travis Etienne is going to be the MVP.
Could very well be. And that was buy or sell. When we get back, John Fricke and Hugh Douglas had Josh Booty, former LSU quarterback, on. We'll hear his thoughts about this upcoming game on Monday night. College football game time from the Kia Studios. Randy McMichael, John Fricke, John Chuckery, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
It is college football game time live from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. John Fricke, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. Looking ahead to the college football national title game in New Orleans on Monday night between the Tigers and the Tigers, Death Valley versus Death Valley, LSU and Clemson. And on the morning show with Hugh and I had a chance this week to talk to former LSU quarterback Josh Booty, who is now a radio talk show host in his own right and an analyst and has joined us a number of times to kind of break down LSU's run through the SEC, through the title game, and now to the national championship. And we decided to talk to Josh about the pressure that LSU is under, not only as SEC champion, but the fact they're playing in New Orleans and the fact that there's additional pressure down in New Orleans now that the Saints have just lost at home.
There is. You know, this is such a big game for the state of Louisiana and the university, but to have the Saints lose and kind of lose how they did, of course, you know, I don't think any team has won 13 regular season games, had a home game in the playoffs to start and lost in the wild card round. So it was, you know, it was history was made last week when the Vikings came in there and stole their dream. But, you know, everybody's super excited. They're pumped. Of course, you know, with that Saints loss, man, a lot of our fans are angry. So they're going to come, I'm sure they're going to come strong. They don't want to lose this one too. And I think we have a real good chance at getting it, but we're going to have to play well, man. Clemson's as good a team as we've played, you know, all year. So this is going to be a fun one.
Josh Booty, former LSU quarterback on the WaitForIt.com hotline, talking LSU versus Clemson. What is now, as we get to kickoff, the biggest concern for LSU? Is it about them or is it about Clemson?
You know, I think it's, yeah, I think we need to continue to do what we've been doing. You know, we've spread teams out all year, you know, taking advantage of mismatches in coverage. You know, not a lot of these teams have the horses to cover us. And we've got, you know, when you look at our receiving group, Jamar Chase, Biletnikoff, winner, a real weapon in our offense. Justin Jefferson, a big weapon, athletic wide receiver. Terrace Marshall's healthy. He was at practice yesterday and flying around, 6'4 receiver, number one recruit in the nation 2 years ago. He's missed some games, but that gives us three really, really fine receivers, guys that can be first, second-round guys. We've got Cristadius Moss, the tight end, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who catches the ball, the backfield well, and is great in pass pro. He's healthy, which is a huge deal for us. In the game against Oklahoma, there was an offensive explosion in the first half, and we didn't even have our tailback in there, which is, it's amazing how well Burrow and the receiving core played, and of course the offensive line. I think it's just more of the same. Spread them out, take advantage of the mismatches. I think there's going to be some. You know, Venables and that Clemson defense is number one in the nation, but they haven't seen the spread, you know, with players all over the place and on the perimeter like we have. And you know, I know they played a big-time game in the semifinals against Ohio State, and they've got a great offense, but I don't think they do as much as we do in the pass game. And so I think that's going to be really interesting to see how they try to match up across the board, because you better have five or six DBs that can play at a very, very high level to be able to stop us. If they can make us punt three or four times and they play well on offense and have a good offensive night, then I think they'll be right there with us. But if they don't make us punt at least four times, then it's going to be real tough on them.
Sports Radio 92.9 Again, we're talking to former LSU quarterback Josh Booty. Josh, watching that game, and I'm having flashbacks. That's why I'm kind of taking my time a little bit. But Joe Burrow looked like he was just – everything that he did, everything he touched turned to gold, and he was just unstoppable. As a former quarterback, what did you see that he was doing and doing so well?
You know, his reads – first of all, his – you know, our concepts are great, and our route running's good. And of course, Joe Brady, the spread game coordinator, the passing game guy that came in from the Saints. I mean, we do look like this, you know, the New Orleans Saints in a lot of ways when you watch us. I mean, we take advantage of you know, things that a defense can't do to stop us, to be honest with you. And when we catch the ball, we run after catch. We don't drop a lot of balls, so we're never in second, third, and long. We play pitch and catch, and that's not been the MO for LSU over the years. And things have changed this year. Brady's worked with the receivers. Seems like we're all on the same page. Our receivers understand, you know, leverage. They understand coverage. You know, at that level, like a guy like Brent Venables is going to do a whole lot to try to offset what we do. He's going to bring pressure, especially because they don't have that D line that they had last year. And you know all about defensive line play. I mean, last year they were incredible. They beat Bama up on the defensive line, and they could sit back and play zone. And Tua had a real tough time because that front four just ate all day, and they got after him. I don't think they're going to be able to do that to us. They're going to have to come at us, and I think Burrow's just going to have to pick them apart. Oklahoma tried to do that, but we just got way too much speed, and that, you know, our receivers are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4". Moss has a real good understanding of our tight end. Randy's kid Thaddeus has understanding of the game as well. So I think it's just us, you know, it's just us being on the same page, and Burrow's headiness, his awareness. It's a dream scenario for him because he's playing in a system now that he can take advantage of all the weapons, and he knows how to use the entire field, throw on time, throw away from rotation and coverages. You know, he's just great overall feel for ball games and situational football, and he never starts slow. That's one thing that he hasn't done all year. I hope he doesn't do it in this national championship game, but he hasn't started slow at all. Like when he hits the ground running on the first series of the football games. And when you watch other college quarterbacks, sometimes it takes them a little bit of time in big games to kind of feel their way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it with some of these other QBs. It's, you know, I'm good friends with Shea Patterson at Michigan, and you know, he, in the beginning of ball games, it never looks real clean, and then he gets going in the second half when he gets comfortable. Well, Joe Burrow looks comfortable from the get-go, and that's a big deal.
Talking with Josh Booty, former LSU quarterback. LSU's got a lot of hardware in its own right, national championships in 2003 and 2007, but Clemson going for back-to-back national titles in 3 out of 4 here. Is there a sense with Joe Burrow, Josh Booty, that LSU has to get this one on Monday night, or with Joe leaving, it might be a year or two before you think you might be able to make another run?
Well, that could be the case because we've got a lot of upperclassmen and a lot of good leaders that will lose, that's for sure. We had 4 offensive linemen coming back, and we talk about all the skill position players, but when you got 4 of your 5 offensive linemen coming back from a year ago, and we won 10 games last year, it's really something to build on. And yeah, this is a huge game. We know they've got the championship pedigree at Clemson. We know how good Dabo is and how good Venables is, and we know that they've developed a team, an ultimate winning mentality of the team. They're balanced. They've got the best, young quarterback I've ever seen in my life as a prospect. And so we know that they've got a lot going on. T. Higgins and Justin Ross, their receivers, and Travis Etienne, their tailback, were all in the national championship game last year and had success. So we're facing a team that's been there, done that, first in the nation in defense, I think 4th in offense. So you've got a really, good team that's good in all phases. And so we're going to have to play our best, and that's why I think this is going to be the toughest test we've had all year. Now, that Bama at Bama was real tough. Tua was healthy. That one was tough. I think this is going to be a lot like that one. It could go either way. I do like us because I think we got a lot of athletes on the offensive side of the ball, and like I said, we can take advantage of some niche matches. But that coaching staff for Clemson is so darn good that it scares us a little bit, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does scare a lot of teams, 29 of them in a row. Josh Booty, former LSU quarterback. Who's going to have the bigger game on Monday night, Joe Brady or Brent Venables? How about that for a question, huh?
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, what's the matchup you're most looking forward to coming up on Monday?
The Clemson defense versus the LSU offense.
Yeah, I agree. I think right up at the line of scrimmage, can they get to Burrow and distract him and make his life difficult at all? And you think about it, we've talked, John, all year. They've a little bit against Auburn. They've had like no. What am I trying to say? They
haven't had pushback or anything.
Yeah, they haven't been challenged and just. They haven't had to face adversity very much this year.
They haven't.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
They've literally hardly faced any adversity.
He hasn't been under 70% all year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was my thing yesterday, JC, when me and Bunk were talking about it, is what does we've seen what Trevor can do with an adverse situation. He faced a lot of it in that last game against Ohio State. We haven't seen what Joe Burrow can do in it because he hasn't had any. He hasn't had a reason to have to speed up or rush or come back or anything like that. So if I'll be interested to see if things don't go well for them in the beginning of the game and Clemson gets out to a lead, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Because even though they've been throwing the ball over the yard, they still have that threat of the run. I mean, they still – I think – what you said? Didn't you say, Freak, if Clemson wins, you think Etienne will be the MVP?
Yep.
I think if LSU wins, Hilaire has to be somewhere like that. I think they got to get him the ball if he can go.
Yeah, they can't be. I still don't think they can be completely one dimensional against Clemson's defense. I mean, where does Clemson's defense rank against what they've seen this year? I still think Georgia's the best defense that LSU has seen this year. The second best defense they've seen?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Auburn. Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn up there. I mean, so it's pretty close. I mean, so. All right, when we get back, Max of the Year. Yes, that's right, Max of the Year. We took out LSU and Clemson. They're all pushed to the side. We'll give you that up next. Chuckery, Fricky, McMichael, in the Kia Studios. College football game time.
I like this song, gotta say.
Huh?
I like this song, gotta say.
Oh. Sports Radio, Nebraska. 99 The Game.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Yes, I cry. Yes, I cry. Ha, ha.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, college football game time with you here on a Saturday morning. John Chuckery, John Fricke, Randy McMichael hanging out with you here till noon today. That point of the show where not Max of the Week, but as we are into the second to last show of the season, we get to our Max of the Year. Now, Brian's stipulation was you had to take everybody from LSU and Clemson out of it, which I agree. I mean, it's too easy to say Joe Burrow. I mean, we know how, I mean.
Yeah. It's too easy. But, of course,
Yeah, you had to put a list together.
Yeah, put a list together. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just go with the rest of the guys. They were at the Heisman Trophy. They're not on LSU. They're not on Clemson. Next.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Next, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
This bowling tournament really got salty.
My max of the year, I mean, the obvious ones are Jalen Hurts, Chase Young, guys like mm-hmm. that. So I picked those two. And I also picked Herm Edwards, man. You know I'm a big fan of Herm, man. And I really think that they have a chance to do some good things next year in the Pac-12. I think they're the best team in the South. I do. I think that they'll find a way. I think Oregon's going to be pretty good, even though they lost Justin Herbert. But I think that Coach Herm will find a way to get them dudes competing. He got a really good young quarterback. Got to find a running back to replace Benjamin. But I like what Coach Herm's done out there in the desert.
So you had Herm, and then who were the other two?
Chase and Jalen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. John Fricke, your max of the year.
I want to make sure I get this straight. The max of the year are the best players, but we're not doing max of the year involving the best players. It's the max of the year who aren't the best players.
Yeah, you get the Brian came up with this,
man.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Taking out the two, no LSU,
no Clemson.
Right.
All right. My number three Mac of the year is Scott Satterfield, head coach at Louisville, for the job that he did. Somewhat like Herm Edwards. I mean, nobody gave Louisville a chance to be anything, and I think they did. I think they did great. My number two is North Dakota State.
They're playing today, aren't they?
Yeah, they're playing James Madison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to these numbers at North Dakota State. Under three different head coaches over the last 8 years, this being the ninth year, they've won 7 of the 8 national titles. The only one they didn't win, they lost 2 years ago to James Madison, the team they're playing today again.
Is Mickey still there?
Who?
Mickey Matthews. Is he still up there at James Madison?
You're asking me. I was looking at North Dakota State, so you can check that out.
Let me check this out.
In these 9 years where they've won 7 of the last 8 national titles, their record is 126-8. So forget about Clemson. How about 7 out of 8 going for 8 out of 9?
Yeah, and they've been just absurd.
Absurd in a 20-team playoff.
Hey, listen, I mean, that's why game day makes sure that they put them on the schedule every year to go up there.
Now. Like Houston.
126-8 over the last 9 years. Not even a loss a year.
Okay.
All right. And then my number one Mac of the year, by far, the transfer portal. Well, he got to the playoff and 3 of the guys were in it. So there you go.
That's a great list, John. Very impressed.
Wow.
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 That was a diss.
No. That was impressive because I would never have thought the transfer portal, but you're absolutely correct. If it wasn't for the transfer portal, who knows who would be in the national championship?
I mean, the transfer portal, even though players have been transferring, somebody said, well, you know, it's a new phenomenon. On the morning show, texted in, new phenomenon that these players transfer. I went, no, it's not. Players have been transferring since forever.
Not like this.
You know, I mean, the reason Nebraska got Vince Ferragamo was that he transferred from Cal in 1976.
Well, it's obviously different because one is these aren't grad transfers. That's one. Because Russell Wilson's still, you know, one of the best free agent acquisitions in college football history.
Trey Aikman transferred from Oklahoma to UCLA.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
But those guys also had to sit a year. That's the difference, too, is getting a year off.
I'm trying to figure that out right there. Troy Aikman running the option. I mean,
well, no, he didn't run the option. See, they changed the offense.
They changed the offense
for 1 year for Troy and Marcus Dupree.
Okay,
I mean, think about that. They had Troy Aikman and Marcus Dupree.
Mm-hmm. Troy Aikman was the quarterback for Marcus Dupree.
Yes,
did not know that.
Yeah,
okay.
So they had Troy Aikman and Marcus Dupree in the backfield, and so Switzer changed everything for a year.
Right,
but they didn't know how to block it.
Right,
you know, they had no clue how to block it.
Think about going from Jamel Holloway to Troy Aikman.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that for a culture shock?
And they had
shock?
No clue how to block it. So he ends up transferring out to UCLA because they couldn't run it. I mean, even with those two great players, they couldn't run it. Because this is what happened to Jeff Collins last year, and people don't understand. When you make that change, that kind of a cultural shift.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to put into words like how much of a difference from your offensive line blocking schemes to everything. It's not just your quarterbacks and running backs. Your entire philosophy about how you block that you've been practicing every day for the last however many years that you've been on campus there is totally different.
Right.
Between that and then the size of the guys that are doing the blocking.
Yeah.
Anyway, those were my max.
All right. I had Chase Young as well. Randy, he only had 46 tackles on the year. 16 and a half of them were sacks.
Yeah.
16 and a half of 46
TFLs?
Tackles.
How many TFLs?
He had 21. That was fourth in the nation, first in sacks. You know the other thing he was number one and two? Forced fumbles.
Yeah.
He had the that's the eighth highest sack total since 05. It's the third highest forced fumble total since 05, and he had three passes defended to go along with all that. You want to talk about, like, one of the real game wreckers we've seen in college football at that level. I just watching him was just he was as fun a defensive player to watch in college football that we've seen in a long time.
I mean, maybe since Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, you think about Sue and Woodson and some of those guys that were, like, fun to watch.
Dwight Freeney on that turf in Syracuse.
Aaron Donald. The problem with Aaron Donald was he played at Pitt and nobody got a chance to see him.
Exactly.
Yeah. Being that disruptive.
I had Chuba Howard as well, who finished first in the nation in rushing attempts and first in the nation in rushing yards. For Oklahoma State, by the way, too. For a team that if I'd have told you that an Oklahoma State running back will lead the nation in carries.
Well, I mean, it is the home of Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders.
Okay. It ain't been that way since Mike Gundy's been on that campus coaching that team.
He's a man now.
Oh, well, I understand. He's plus 40 years old. They ain't been running back you since he's been on that campus. Starting with, what was it, Zach Robinson? Was that one of the first quarterbacks he had when he was coaching?
Yeah, Zach Robinson.
Yeah, kid was drafted
Zach
by the
Robinson.
Yeah, by the Bengals. I think he was drafted.
Yeah, I forgot about Zach Robinson. Yeah.
So I mean, remember? Hell, they came to Georgia and played. Mm-hmm. They played here, and then Georgia played out there. So caught 23 passes, first in attempts, Randy, first in rushing yards, third in rushing touchdowns. And my Mac of the year, Matt Rhule. He just got $60 million. his season at Baylor of turning them around. Just got him 60 guaranteed, John, with a potential for $70 million.
I know this is college football game time, but I got to ask you guys because we talked about it with you. Who's going to have a better run the next 5 years, Matt Rhule or Judge Judy?
Probably Matt Rhule.
No, Judge Judy gets so much residual income. Her income level is – have you ever seen her income level?
No, we're talking about Joe Judge.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said Judge Judy.
I did. That's what we're calling
him. That's what they call him.
That's what they call him? Oh.
Yeah.
Is this like we call you John Freaky? Is that sort of the same thing?
Yeah, you should back down there, Chucker.
Oh, okay. Boy. Right. Oh, boy. Here we go.
Wow.
Now,
I can't believe you get that. At me.
I can't believe you didn't get that.
Yeah.
I think maybe Matt Rhule. I don't know. I don't know a lot about Coach Judge. I mean, he comes off as a guy who wants to be Bill Belichick-esque. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if he finds his own identity, who knows?
What does Baylor look like without Matt Rhule now? Because
you want to know what they look like? 7-5.
Well, that's what Randy and I've joked before about those oil guys don't like the idea of not being in the football business.
They don't.
Those Texas oil men that back that, they don't want to be out of the football business. And you look at the job he did to turn, you know, what was literally the most disgraceful program in America around like that. That's a hard act to follow for. Well, that's why I say, I mean, I understand you can't turn down $60 million in the NFL, but if I was Southern Cal, that would have been my first pick to go out there and try to get that program back on track.
You know, Bill O'Brien got that love for doing what he did at Penn State and turned it into a pretty good pro career. Mm-hmm. So,
You did.
That's great. And obviously, Matt Rhule turned down the NFL the year before.
Well, they wouldn't let him pick his guys. And he's going to fall for what's happened to college coaches came to when we talk about coaches that need to grow their staff up, it's going to happen to him. He's bringing all his Baylor assistants and all that.
That's a problem.
That's going to be a problem.
Well, he is talking about bringing – he wants Joe Brady.
He wants Joe Brady, but I'm just talking about like his defensive coordinator, his old defensive coordinator, Baylor, and all that.
Why would Joe Brady go there? Joe Brady's going to get
– the NFL.
Yeah, but he's going to get opportunities. He knows that he's going to get a head coaching job if he wants.
If Joe Brady does anything like he did at LSU – in 2 years, he'll be an NFL head coach.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Why go to – well, you're saying in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm talking about –
see, I don't think I would take that chance if I'm going to – you know, what do you have? I mean, you got a banged-up Cam Newton. You're not even sure he's going to play. That's A. And B is, what is your other option? Kyle Allen?
I'm just telling you.
Oh, they don't got no quarterback.
Will Greer?
I mean, Cam's the best quarterback on the roster.
And we don't even know if he's going to play.
That's correct.
We're not certain of that
because
yet.
The thing about it is it's going to be hard to trade him. He's hurt.
Oh, yeah, you can't trade him. Nobody will go
want him. Nobody will want him. So then you look at a whole
– and he's in his final year of his contract,
too. Then you're going to go through a whole offseason.
Now, we assume he's going to play.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying he's going to be in a new system.
You sure he wants to play after this year?
That's the other
thing. Am I sure that Cam will play? I don't know Cam like that, so I can't tell you.
Yeah, we can't tell you that either. I mean, at what point isn't it – it's not about injuries with Cam. It's just that he's kind of done.
No, he's not. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, the one thing we see about players nowadays, they retire early.
Yeah, and he's got
has a lot of extracurricular things that he does.
Yes, and I don't think it's necessarily football. With Cam. I never thought, and I know we're off on a tangent here, never thought it was about the knees or the hips or the feet or anything. I think it's about the CTE, the blows to the head.
Well, I mean, listen, he's been so banged up. He's got all the money. Why continue to just punish yourself like that? Like I said, he's got so much off football stuff that he does as well. So,
anyway, right, sorry to digress there.
Nope. All right, when we get back, stock up, stock down. We've all got a list that we'll be asking each other to figure out who's up, who's down in the world of college football after this season. So up next, college football game time. Fricky, McMichael, Chuckery, in the Key Studios, Sports Radio, now turning the game.
I said this before.
It's Randy. Weekdays 10 till 2.
When I first got to Georgia, like taking a shower at Heinz, them had me believing that if you pee on your feet, it cures athlete's foot. So I didn't know. So I'm just peeing on my feet.
How many times?
Until you figured it out.
Until I figured out that they were lying to me.
How many times was it?
Maybe three.
Was it an entire year?
Maybe three.
Did you have athlete's foot?
I didn't. But they said it also helps prevent it.
Andy and Randy. Middays. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.